From the DLC Media News Center, this is Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program produced by the DLC Media News Center. Here's your host, Frank Phillips.
Thanks, Barry. And our special guest today is Matt Ames. He is with the Indiana State Police, Sergeant Matt Ames, I should say. And your title is Public Information Officer, sometimes abbreviated PIO. What does that mean? What do you do?
I just could be able to go out in the public, make presentations about what the Indiana State Police is doing, enforcing the traffic laws, and work with other law enforcement agencies, and then be able to talk about all the great work that our local troopers are doing here in the six counties that we serve out of the Putnamville District.
Well, that's neat. Good public information to get out there.
We try to fit it out there. And people can follow us on social media at the ISP Putnamville on Facebook, Twitter. We do a little bit of Instagram, too.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I wanted to get that in there so that people could look you up on social media. That's super. Well, we're going to talk about things that are of interest to people and should be of interest to people today. And I know that one of the things that you mentioned was farming season is upon us, and there's a lot of tractors and other equipment on the road.
That is true. There's a lot of farmers getting out there in the fields, starting to work hard. And what we ask for people is just to make sure that they're being patient when they come up to a farm equipment. A lot of times, especially on our county roads, they're taking up both lanes. Just take the opportunity to try to make eye contact with the farmer if you're going to try to make the pass, or just make sure that you're being patient. Allow yourself a little bit of extra travel time in the morning or in the evening when you're getting home, knowing that that large piece of equipment is going to be out there. And then all of a sudden, you never know that the farmer may be trying to make a wide right turn or a wide left turn to get in the field so that they can get to work. So people just need to be patient around them. Now, we also do encourage that the farmers, if they're out on the main roads, state road or U.S. routes, that they have a vehicle behind them with their hazard lights on, just to give a little bit more warning of that, hey, we've got a slow-moving farm piece of equipment here, because the top speed that they're going to be able to go is anywhere between 20 to 25 miles per hour. So people just need to realize that farming season's going on just like it is all the time, but just be patient when you get around the large piece of equipment.
Well, I know we want to be proactive, but have we had a lot of problems with farm accidents, farm vehicle accidents?
Last year here in our district, we had three accidents involving farm equipment, with one of them unfortunately being a fatal accident near Riley area. So we just ask people just to make sure that you're aware that they're out there traveling, and, you know, as you get past the farm, you may give them a little wave because, hey, that's how we're all eating out here.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. They're not really taking anything from us. They're really providing a service to us all.
Exactly.
And I also wanted to mention and ask you about motorcycles, because I know motorcycles, when the weather gets nice, they're also on the roads.
Yeah, we are seeing a lot more motorcycle traffic. And we ask to make sure when you're getting ready to operate your motorcycle, make sure that your headlight is working, operating properly. A lot of times we'll stop a motorcycle because we'll see it not working. Make sure that all your maintenance is complete. That's going to be seen. And we always encourage motorists when you come up to a traffic light or a traffic or a stop sign, make sure, you know, you look once for a car, but make sure you're looking twice for a motorcycle, because it may be coming through. And of course, it's a smaller object versus as a motor vehicle coming through there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what about distracted driving? That's a concern for the police and for all of us, I know.
It is. It's still a major priority for the department. April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month here in the state of Indiana, nationwide. People don't realize that distracted driving now is the number one killer here in the United States. It used to be drinking and driving or under the influence of alcohol or other drugs, but now it's distracted driving. In 2022, there was 3,522 deaths that occur because of distracted driving. And the thing is people, a lot of people just think about texting and driving. The three things that we look at is, number one, visual. People are taking their eyes off the roadway, manually taking your hands off the steering wheel, and cognitive. And that is where you're not thinking about about driving. So the worst thing that people think about is when people have their cell phones in their hands and they're texting and driving down the road. And that takes all three of those things into consideration. So, you know, when it's time to drive, make sure that you're ready to operate your motor vehicle. And it's very simple. Stow your cell phone away in the glove box if you need to. If you have a passenger there in the vehicle with you, give that cell phone to the passenger. Let that individual be able to text for you. Just make sure when it's time to drive, it's time to drive, and put the cell phone away.
I would think the newer cars that have the phone connected through the radio speaker, mm-hmm. so it's that would seem to be better, but you still would have that cognitive problem of not paying attention to what you're doing.
That is true.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we all have been in the situation where we've gone down the road and we've seen somebody on their cell phone or somebody down here doing this. We don't know what they're doing, but we're pretty sure they're texting. Is it a good idea to honk your horn at them or something to get their attention, or is that not a good idea?
That's really not a good idea. And the reason why I'm going to say that is what that leads into is what we call road rage. We see it more and more common here in our local area, especially in our Indianapolis district. We see a lot of road rage incidents going on. Since January 1 to present time, there's been 62 occurrences of road rage where guns have been displayed. And unfortunately, there's been 13 people that's been shot on 465, going around 465. If you get in a situation where you're getting upset while you're going down the roadway, we suggest that you pull off side of the roadway at your nearest exit or at a filling station. Take the opportunity just to calm down a little bit. So therefore, you're being responsible for your motor vehicle and you're not escalating something else with another motorist out there. Just the other day, we had a road rage incident here in the Putnamville District where it started at State Road 46, they exited at State Road 59, and they turned around, got back up on the interstate, and they just continued to do a loop. And, you know, we get there and try to resolve the situation for them. It's just two people that are just upset that, well, I got cut off, or, hey, that person gave me the one finger wave, and that upset them about it. We all need to be adults out here. We all need to be responsible for when we're operating our motor vehicles so we can get home safely.
I never thought about that. Two people mad at each other, so they start making a circle instead of just going on about their business.
Exactly.
That's wild. That is wild.
It's very crazy, and you're just like, I don't understand why people get so involved in all that stuff. The easiest thing to do is just step away and make a good decision.
Yeah. You also mentioned Indiana Department of Transportation. What's going on with them?
We're going to have a lot of NDOT getting ready to start up on Interstate 70. We currently have the Darwin Overpass, which is at mile marker 3, being completely tore down, and they're rebuilding it. I believe the project is supposed to be done towards the end of September. So that's closed down entirely. But we are going to have roads construction from State Road 46 all the way to State Road 59, where they're going to be doing resurfacing the bridges and making sure that those are all up to code. You know, infrastructure, that's what we need here to make sure all our roadways are safe and allow us to be able to travel. What we ask is when you come into a construction zone, make sure that you're paying attention to the speed limit signs and you're obeying those. And about 2 miles out is where you're going to start seeing the signs, and it's going to let you know what lane of traffic you need to be going into. We do want to talk to, we had a news conference the other day with NDOT. We want to talk about the move over law. A move over law, of course, everyone thinks of it and they think of an emergency vehicle, which, you know, that's your fire, that's your police, that's your ambulance services. It also goes towards your trash haulers, your tow trucks, and our NDOT workers that are out there. And a state law is very simple. It requires you to move over to the adjacent lane if you're able to do so. And if you're unable to do so, then you're required to reduce your speed by 10 miles per hour and then proceed past that vehicle with caution. We want to make sure that we can provide a safe environment for all of our motorists that are out there, but we also want to provide a safe environment for our NDOT workers. And people need to realize that if you're speeding through a construction zone, which we will have troopers in those zones, that definitely the fines go up in there. If you're speeding through there, you can receive a fine of $1,000. If you're driving aggressively or recklessly, that can go to $5,000. And if you unfortunately get involved in a situation where you're causing personal injuries or a death to a worker, those fines can go up to $10,000 with a 8-year prison sentence as well.
Well, we actually had an officer who was killed up on Interstate 80, I think it was, not too long ago. Driver was involved in a chase situation. Police were behind him trying to pull him over. And there was an officer up ahead who put out his stop sticks, but unfortunately, the driver hit him and killed him. And that is a tragedy beyond belief.
It is, and that was done. That driver though did it intentionally. He drove right at our trooper.
He did it on purpose.
He did it on purpose.
I had not heard that.
That's the reason why the individual was charged with murder.
Yeah. So there's another situation that is similar to the move over, and that is, and correct me or explain the law to me if you would, but from my understanding, like if you're on US 40 and traffic's kind of light at certain times of the day, you cannot just get over on the inside lane and just drive. You have to stay on the outside lane. Is that correct?
That is correct. You have the driving lane and you have the passing lane. A state law requires you to be in the driving lane in case you're, unless you are making a pass. Unfortunately, we see that a lot. You mentioned US 40. Unfortunately, we see that a lot on Interstate 70, especially when semi-tractor trailers get driving beside each other. Yeah. We like to call it their drag strip going down the roadway, where one's going 60 miles an hour and the other one's going 60 and a half, and it takes them, you know, 4 or 5 miles sometimes to make the pass as they go through the hills on Interstate 70. That makes a motorist very frustrated, and you can actually be stopped for that for impeding traffic. Mm. But the driving lane is for the driving and passing is for the passing lane.
Yeah. Even if there's not a lot of traffic, or maybe especially if there's not a lot of traffic.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. And we want to talk about recruiting. The Indiana State Police are involved in recruitment now.
Yes, we're still recruiting. Our application process is open up until April the 27th. And even after that, it's going to be extended after the budget gets finalized from our legislators, and then we'll be able to know exactly what's going to happen. But our proposed pay scale for a beginning trooper is going to be at $70,000. You get all the way through the selection process, get through the academy and through the FTO period. Once you graduate from the FTO period and you're out on your own, you receive a $5,000 bonus. Being a trooper is a great experience. It's an opportunity where you get to enforce the criminal laws and traffic laws. You can work with other law enforcement agencies and other federal agencies, and you can be able to give back to your community. I've been doing this job now for 27 years. There's not a day that I've yet to be able to put my uniform on. Like, I just don't want to do this. I really enjoy working for the citizens of the state of Indiana, and I'm very proud to be able to wear this uniform. And what we do is we encourage people, just you can go to @ISP recruiting. That's where you can pull down the application, or you can go to indianatrooper.com and be able to get the application right there and get it filled out. Now, one thing we do want to reiterate to people is we just did this the other day, give the promotion, or excuse me, the physical ability test at Terre Haute South. There are some physical requirements to be a state trooper, and I just want everyone to know up front that you have to be able to do 25 push-ups, you got to be able to do 29 sit-ups, be able to do a vertical jump of 16 feet and 5 inches, and you have to run a mile and a half in 16 minutes and 28 seconds. That's a really long time. An old guy like myself, I can still do all those requirements. So we want to stay physically fit. Allows you to feel better as a person, but allows you to be a better police officer out here too.
Yeah, what about age requirements?
Our age requirements is that you have to be 21 years at the 21 years old when you graduate from the academy, and you can't be older than 40 years of age.
21 and 40. Yeah.
Our academy is located over at the Indiana Law Enforcement Academy in Plainfield. Mm-hmm. The process goes for 23 to 26 weeks long, depending upon how many holidays fall in there. But that entire time, we're going to train you how to be the best police officer that you can.
Now, are you on site during that whole training time?
You're on site the entire time, Monday through Friday. You have the weekends off where you can go home and be with your family. You know, one of our slogans of being a trooper is one badge, endless opportunities. And it's easy, real easy. If you work at a small department, you're going to probably be a road patrol officer your entire career. Being a trooper, you can become a road trooper. Well, you're going to become a road trooper initially, but then you can become a detective. You can become a squad sergeant. You can work. We have a full-time SWAT team. We even have an aviation section that people are not even aware of. We have 3 fixed-wing airplanes, and we have 3 helicopters that are assigned to our area. And we got troopers that fly our governor around anytime that he needs to go somewhere. And we use our helicopters to be able to assist other agencies and to be able to detect where criminal activity is going on too.
I did not know that. That's very interesting with the helicopters. Well, you said you have airplanes too. What do you use those for?
They're used to do aviation, to go around and sometimes run what we call LIDAR, where we're looking for speeding vehicles. And then also they're used to transport personnel from one place to another place.
Very good.
But, everything is provided to you at the end of your field training program. Then you're provided your own patrol vehicle that you're responsible for. You have free maintenance, free gas. You're allowed to drive that vehicle on duty and off duty. Even though if you're off duty, you're still responding to any major situations that need to be taken care of. We just encourage people to apply for the becoming Indiana Trooper, and we are taking laterals as well. A lateral officer is someone who works for another agency. They have 3 years of experience, a full-time experience at an agency, that if you would come back to and apply for the become a trooper, that academy is only going to be 16 weeks long, and then you would be reassigned back to the area where you are from.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, one of the things coming up in the next few days as we're recording this is the partnership between the Indiana State Police and the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Prescription Drug Take-Back Day. And I realize this will air after the annual event. What about during the year? Can people still drop off their old prescription drugs and so forth?
A lot of our local agencies still have an area where you can go. I know the Putnam County Sheriff's Department does it. I believe Vigo County does it as well, where if you have unwanted drugs and you need to get rid of them, versus taking them and flushing them down the toilet, which we do not want to happen at all. We want to make sure that they're disposed of properly. You can go to those local agencies. We don't collect those at the Putnamville Post right now. But I will reiterate, though, that no needles are accepted at those facilities.
Very good. Anything else you want to talk about?
We just want everyone to, as the weather starts to get better and the temperatures come out, we're going to see a lot more traffic out on the roadways. We just encourage all motorists to make sure that you're obeying the posted speed limits and obeying all the traffic laws so that we can provide safe roadways for everybody out
there. We want everybody to enjoy their cars, but be safe.
Exactly.
Okay. Exactly. Sergeant Matt Ames, Public Information Officer with the Indiana State Police, has been our guest today. I'm Frank Phillips, so we appreciate you listening.
This has been Focus on the Community, produced by the DLC Media News Center. This program is broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. on 104.9 WAXI and at 7 a.m. on WAMB The Breeze, 1130 a.m., 106.9 and 99.5 FM, and on Sunday morning at 6 a.m. on 105.5 The Legend and at 7 a.m. on 92.7 The Rock, WFMB. For a replay of this program or any of our past programs, go to any of our station websites. Thank you for listening to Focus on the Community.